good morning and welcome. Monday morning. I hope you had a great weekend. Weather was cooperative, which made it kind of nice. And as we make our way back into another work week, I'm always happy to open up the phone lines and the text lines to hear from you. What's on your mind? 1-877-332-8255. The Rider game, of course, call it making excuses, but it was a preseason game. We even said on Friday when we were doing green and white prognostications, it's not about the win as much as it's about seeing and testing the players in different positions. Speaking of green and white prognostications, of all the callers that we had on Friday, most of them picking the Riders to win. And don't forget how this works is you call in, you tell us who's going to win the game, what are the scores of each team, and what's the total combined score. The closest to is the winner. And this year, what we're doing is if you win, you get your name entered into the draw at the end of the season. We make a draw for $1,800 cash. That's a big one. Thanks to our friends at Canada West Harvest Center. They fuel that for us. And the green and white prognostication winner for this week, congratulations to Carla in Saskatoon. She had a total score of 33, picking the Bombers to win 24-9. Actual score was 15-9 for a total of 24. So she had the Riders score right, off a little bit on the Bombers, but she was the closest. So congratulations, Carla in Saskatoon. You are the first green and white prognostication winner. You've got your name entered into the draw, and the cash will be drawn for at the end of the season. Some people frustrated they couldn't watch the game on TV. If you've got CFL Plus, you could catch it on there. But I think there was some highlights in that game. We saw A.J. Ouellette had a really good start, 21-yard run right off the bat there in the first half. And that's the thing, again, they're trying. Guy like Ouellette doesn't play the whole game. He goes in for a little bit in the first quarter, but they're moving people around. Running back Thomas Bertrand Hudon had some nice rushes, including one for 18 yards, part of a 6-carry, 41-yard gain. Receiver Keyshawn Johnson. How about rookie receiver Dre McRae, a 51-yard and a 36-yard kickoff return? Jackson Ford in there. There was a lot of things to be happy about in that game, and I tuned in to the Green Zone's post-game show after the game, and I felt like the fans were generally pretty positive.
I got to say, I liked our special teams. McRae looked really good. I mean, I think we have a dynamic duo back there if Mario remains with the squad. Then I'm not going to lie, offensively, we looked flat. I mean, it's to be expected. It's preseason. You can't expect much. I will say, though, you can tell that Cone's in his second year compared to Mayer being in his first year with this offense. Personally, I think Cone played a way better game today than Mayer did. Our defense looked phenomenal. Ford looked phenomenal. You just saw him. He was there every single play in that first quarter, and I'm going to be shocked if we don't have a top three defense in the league this year.
It was your typical preseason, but I'm a little worried about our punting game.
Best thing I got out of this whole game is we got the best quarterbacks in the league, and I haven't felt this good since we had Clarence as our starter and Fajardo as our backup. That punter, though, and that other kicker that kicked a line drive like that, I've never even seen a kick like that in my life.
So we lose the first preseason game to Winnipeg in Winnipeg. We play this weekend against Winnipeg at home. Will there be a bit of a different outcome there? We'll find out. In fact, we'll give you a chance to play along with green and white prognostications again coming up on Friday of this week. Hey, on Friday night, I was very happy to be able to go to the Center of the Arts in Regina for an event called the Bring 'Em Up Gala. This is the first gala that they've hosted of this new Bring 'Em Up committee. And really what they are doing is working on ways to try and enhance opportunities for immigrant and refugee youth. It's an incredible cause. BK Waldo, who is the older brother to Saskatchewan Rough Rider, former rider Paul Waldo, won the won cups in Montreal and then won a Grey Cup here with the Riders as well. Yeah, BK Waldo is the brother to Paul. He is a great leader in the city of Regina. He's done a lot of coaching there, but he told his story that night about being a young refugee, escaping from Ethiopia, the life that his parents carved out for he and ultimately his brothers in Saskatchewan, and some of the people that helped give him a leg up when it came to being a young immigrant coming to Saskatchewan. And I caught up with BK. It was a busy night, but at the end of the night, I was curious to know what he wants to see for Regina and Saskatchewan's immigrant youth.
I want them to grow up to be kind people, to have great jobs, and to have the connections as you do in sports is the only way I feel you can do it.
How do you think sports does that for kids?
Well, I think first off, it teaches you how to finish what you start. So I know with football, there's four quarters, right? I'll give you a prime example. At work now, I use the same thing. So I got a month. I'm in sales. It's a month. The first week is my first quarter. Second week is my second quarter. Third week is my third quarter. And I need to win that third week, because if I don't win that third week, that means I got a battle in the fourth week. So that's how I see things in life right now.
So I'm curious, sports are good for kids, and we know that. Why is it extra important for immigrant children, children that might be new to Canada? Tell me what sports does that might be a little extra for them.
Excellent. So as a person who grew up here, generations and generations, you know, they're already established. They've got a foundation already set. And I think sports is a foundation for their refugees. That's a foundation that they can use to step on to do big things. Where if you're a second, third, fourth generation here, you know what? Sports will help you get to where you need to get to. But at the same time, if you do fall, there's going to be somebody who can catch you.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think of the night? This is your, I'm guessing this is the first of maybe a few, but tell me what you think.
I already told my daughter. She's taking over after I'm done. So, yeah, this is our first, our first year. And I hope this goes on for a long time.
Yeah. Congratulations on a great night.
Thanks, pal.
It was quite a night. They had over 500 people at the Kinexus Arts Center and raised a ton of money. Again, enhancing opportunities and accessibility to sport for immigrant and refugee youth. So congrats to the whole Bring 'Em Up Gala team. All right, phone lines are officially open, 1-877-332-8255. First day of the new session in Parliament today. Of course, the King is here to read the throne speech tomorrow. We'll be carrying that live, by the way, for you tomorrow. What is it you would like to talk about? Phone lines are open. I want to take this quick call. I got Arnie on the line from Prince Albert. We were talking this morning about some of the devastation that's happening with those fires in the north. Arnie, are you affected by this at all?
We're not right now, Evan, but I've got a place at Candle Lake, and they're on a pre-evacuation notice once again, and the sense of urgency with everything that's on fire up north right now, Hall Lake, Pelican Narrows, Lower Fishing Lake, the Narrow Hills area, East Trout Lake, White Swan. I'm just kind of wondering, I know that there's, you know, a contingency of firefighters up there and some air resources, but there was well over 200 vehicles headed south here yesterday, last night to Prince Albert, and I'm wondering where the sense of urgency is and what's being done preemptively in regards to a fire break or anything else of that matter in regards to Candle Lake. So I'm just wondering where the sense of urgency is.
Yeah, thanks for calling in and raising that. We'll reach out to the Saskatchewan Public Safety Agency. We stay fairly close with them and have them on the show multiple times to bring the updates. And it was just last week I had Steve Roberts on. We talked about it, but it was at that time nowhere near what we're seeing now. And I talked about this morning over the weekend. They confirmed 23 camping units and one trapper's cabin have been lost to the Shoe Fire. Four structures, all cabins, lost to the Camp Fire. And then waiting to confirm final details, but one structure in what's known as the PC Fire. So they are they're definitely having now problems with some of these remote villages, some of these areas where they're giving evacuation notice, or they're at least putting people on standby. And Arnie's point is well taken. It is a lot of anxiety for people that have cabins up there, that have homes up there, as to what this means. So we'll stay in close touch with the SP essay on this and bring any details as we can. Okay, phone lines are open, 1-877-332-8255. If you caught question period on the weekend, Andrew Scheer was on talking with Vashi Kapelos, and Andrew talked about wanting to be able to work with the Liberal government when it came to fighting Trump and tariffs. In fact, we heard Pierre Poilievre give a similar message to that yesterday. Does that manifest itself? Will we see a more conciliatory approach with this new look Parliament? Your thoughts on that and some comments we heard over the weekend from Pierre Poilievre when we come back here on Open Lines. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Help me help you. I will find us a place.
Making it work
takes a little longer.
Making it work
takes a bit of time.
Well, good morning and welcome to the show. 1-877-332-8255 is the number if you want to join the conversation. Phone lines are open. We're happy to chat about whatever is on your mind this Monday morning. Shoot us a text or give us a call. Did you see another riding has changed hands? I cannot remember a federal election where we've had more recounts, more judicial reviews and recounts. The one in Terra Nova, the Peninsula, in Newfoundland, this took 2 weeks to do the review. Ultimately, Conservative Jonathan Rowe wins by 12 votes, just decided here in the last couple of days. So he officially defeated Liberal Anthony Germain. 12 votes different. So now that's a Conservative seat. The Conservatives up to 144 seats in the House. Liberals down one to 169. And the House is actually, as we speak, they are on day number one today. Now, we know that yesterday, both Pierre Poilievre met with the Conservatives, Mark Carney met with the Liberals, and they talked about what to expect. In the speech where Poilievre talked with all of the Conservative MPs in his caucus, which, of course, is fairly big compared to what he had, it's the numbers are up compared to what they had now. They've got 144 seats. He talked about the fact that he is very willing to work with Mark Carney when it comes to battling against the threat of tariffs and these trade wars with the United States.
We all want a permanent end to tariffs with the U.S., and we will work with the government to help make that happen. I've already told the Prime Minister that we are happy to cooperate any way we can to bring about an end to this unnecessary dispute and restore our sovereign, not just our sovereignty, but also tariff-free access to the most successful international trading arrangement in the world. And we can't help but note that the Prime Minister promised during the election that he would put his elbows up and apply dollar-for-dollar tariffs that would raise tens of billions of dollars. Now, let's be clear. He said that it would raise $20 billion this year alone. And he published that in a platform released after he had quietly eliminated most of those tariffs. So how is he going to make up the money? And why did he put his elbows down when he said they were up? Look, despite the Prime Minister's doublespeak, we will work, as I said, to help him try and get a trade deal to put an end to the tariffs. But we also need to focus on making our own economy more independent and self-reliant so that we're no longer vulnerable to such international surprises. That means unleashing our industry and its mighty workers to make things here for ourselves and for overseas markets. It's not enough to say you want to build. The government must remove the laws, taxes, and rules that stand in the way. And that's why Conservatives are proposing practical and real removal of obstacles and the industrial carbon tax, the energy caps, the electric vehicle mandates, the no new pipelines law, the West Coast shipping ban, and more. If the government agrees to these changes, we will move as early as the spring to pass them all. They have our word. Let's remove the obstacles. Let's harvest our resources. Let's make Canada truly independent.
So that was Pierre Poilievre yesterday talking with his essentially 144 MPs and the whole caucus for the Conservative Party. But keep in mind, Pierre Poilievre not there today, at least not in the House. Andrew Scheer is holding that job while Pierre Poilievre is running in a by-election. That'll be happening in the next month or so. Andrew Scheer was on Question Period over the weekend with Vashi Kapelos and talked about what he hopes to see from this new Liberal government.
If the government wants some easy ideas, some low-hanging fruit to improve the lives of Canadians, they could start with, for example, repealing Liberal Bill C-75 and C-5. Those are two pieces of legislation that the Liberals brought in that caused the explosion of crime in our communities with their easy bail instead of jail policies. They could fully and completely eliminate the carbon tax for everyone on everything, including the industrial side as well, so that our Canadian manufacturers are not playing shorthanded against their American competitors. They could repeal Bill C-69, that's the No More Pipelines law, which led to a complete desertion of our energy sector by investors and massive attack on jobs throughout Canada, including Western Canada. So those are some really easy things they could do that could they could bring forward to the House that we not only would support, we've been calling for it.
So that, to me, leads me to this notion of, will we see a more conciliatory approach to governing in Canada? Will we see the Conservatives supporting the Liberals on some bills that come forward? According to both Pierre Poilievre and Andrew Scheer, that is a possibility. Of course, it has to be the things that they feel are going to propel Canada forward. And we know in the campaign, Mark Carney and the Liberals did talk about some things that were absolutely an overlap with the Conservative campaign. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm very curious to know if you think this is going to be a totally different look. Is government going to be able to work together? Are you going to see the Conservatives supporting the Liberals on a number of bills? Or will it be the very antagonistic back and forth that we were used to with Trudeau as Prime Minister? 1-877-332-8255. King Charles and Queen Camilla here in Canada today. They've got him, they've got both of them busy. They're touring them around. They're taking them to a farmer's market. He's dropping the puck at a road hockey game. Did you hear that? He's the opening face-off referee, if you will, dropping the puck. Hopefully he doesn't get a whack on the shins. Remember, it's a ceremonial puck drop. Let's not get too aggressive with the sticks. But then tomorrow, he will be, for the third time in Canadian history, a reigning monarch reading out that throne speech. It happened with the Queen in 1957, 1977. We will be carrying it live here tomorrow, just after 9 o'clock. We do have Ralph Goodale, who will be joining us off the start of the show, the High Commissioner for Canada in the UK. Ralph Goodale will join us at 8:30. He saw the King and Queen Camilla off to Canada at the airport. We will have a chat with Mr. Ralph Goodale tomorrow morning, and then we will carry it live. And of course, we'll open up the phone lines to hear your thoughts and reaction to that as well tomorrow at 9 o'clock. What about this? This is a good topic for open phones. The city of Regina is doing a rebrand. Well, it's kind of an old renewed rebrand with the I Love Regina theme. They've got a whole bunch of new merchandise, including a candle that should remind you of the city of Regina. If Regina has a smell, what is the scent of this candle? Oh my gosh, I can only imagine the texts we'll get on this. 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Open Lines, 1-877-332-8255. Does your city, does your community have a fragrance that could be made into a candle? That is the weirdest question perhaps I've ever posed on the radio, but Frank just gives me a copy of an article. So Regina is relaunching their I Love Regina campaign, and they've got a new line of merchandise, including shirts and jackets and hats and all that kind of stuff. They also have a candle as part of their new collection from Tourism Regina called City Lights. They also have an oil diffuser. It's got a custom scent developed by local entrepreneur Sarah Lindsay. And they talk about the fact that scents are really powerful when it comes to jogging memories. And there's no doubt about that. My question is, They say it smells like city pride. What is that smell? How does city pride smell? And if your community had a candle, what fragrance would it be? That is the goofiest question I've ever asked on the radio. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's a unique fragrance. It was developed specifically for the city of Regina, and it is part of this new merch line that they've got out. So time will tell on that. 1-877-332-8255. Your Canada Post continues to work this morning. Your mail is being delivered as per normal. They have pulled back from overtime. We found that out late last week. But when Canada Post came forward, gave a proposal, the union took a look at it over a couple of days. They've now prepared a response. Everything from a hike in pay to plans to roll out a fleet of part-time workers potentially on the weekend is what is partially up for discussion here. But at this point, still no full head-on strike in the Canada Post situation. So we'll continue to follow that along. Back on the text line here, I did notice there was a text from Glenn in Pilot Butte. They've got a cabin at Besnard Lake. Oh my gosh, he's sending pictures. So this fire, it looks as if the fire moved, according to Glenn, about 25 miles yesterday. So that's the problem when we've got wind. Hot temperatures, no rain, so it's very dry in the north, and you get a little bit of wind and that fire moves, and he sends some pictures of some of the destruction that's happening out there. This is 5 years in a row in the Besnard Lake area where they are having this kind of damage. So thanks for sending the pictures in, Glenn, and always happy to hear from people if you've got updates of what's going on in your neck of the woods with regard to the fires that we've been following fairly closely. 1-877-332-8255. Open lines are here. What is on your mind? What do you want to talk about? This rising number of measles cases is a head scratcher to me. I don't understand. I mean, measles was virtually done, eradicated. We weren't seeing anything to do with measles. Now we've got this small portion of our population that have not been getting the measles vaccination. Now, keep in mind, this vaccination has been around for years. This is not new. It's developed. It's tried. It's true. We know that it's a proven vaccine, and we know that it's nearly 100% effective against preventing measles. Saskatchewan, 45 cases this year, up 8 from last week. I worry about the kids, especially the kids, because as we heard, we've had a couple of health professionals on that talked about the danger this can be to kids, can have very serious consequences, brain damage, loss of hearing, sight, even death. So vaccinations are definitely a way to get around that. And the fact that we've got a rising number of measles, they just gave out a couple more alerts in both Regina and Swift Current over the weekend, listing off a number of businesses and public places saying, if you were here, be aware that there was someone there who was possibly infectious with the measles virus, and a chance for you to, if you're not vaccinated, get sick as a result of it, of course, higher if you were in those areas as well. So 1-877-332-8255. Happy to hear whatever it is you would like to talk about. Give us a shout. Lots of people talking about the fires and feeling as if there needs to be greater urgency in the north, feeling as though we need to get more firefighter support up there. Let's bring in other volunteer firefighters. Let's pay those that are doing this as private firms. Let's use reciprocal agreements with other provinces, bring in air bombers, whatever we need to do to try and save some of the cabins and some of the areas. Got a text here signed by Jim. Would like to know what is with firefighters. I'm a Little Bear cottage owner and there's no activity here, no water bombers, no helicopters. They've placed sprinklers in the town site. The residents turn the pumps on and the firefighters turn them off. Water bombers sitting on the tarmac in LaRange. I think we need to get them out here and working. He's worried about the wind that is coming and the fire only being a couple of miles away. 1-877-332-8255. What is it for you? What is on your mind? What would you like to talk about? Did you see video or pictures over the weekend of the Walk with Israel event that happened in Toronto? So they held a Walk with Israel event. They had thousands of people. I think I saw a number of 65,000 people walked in the Walk with Israel event that was planned. Here's the thing that I don't get, is the people that were walking were peaceful. There was crowds of them. They were walking. They were smiling. They were doing all of these things. You had along the sidelines of the walk route, you had counter protesters. So these protesters are anti-Semitic, some of them saying pro-Palestinian, but wearing masks on their faces, signs and placards with words like death and terrorism and all of these things going on, genocide, while the Israeli walk is peaceful, is, you know, obviously they're upset about the terrorist attack that started the war that is going on right now, that terrorist attack that happened when Hamas attacked into Israel. I mean, this is, Canada is not considered a safe country now for Israeli and Jewish travelers. Israel actually raised a travel alert for Canada, if you can believe that. Israel raised a travel alert for Canada to a potential threat level on Sunday. They just did this yesterday. Warning of an increased threat by terrorists against Israelis and Jews in Canada. It's issued by Israel's National Security Council, which was, of course, the same day that demonstrations were gathered in Toronto, Vancouver, and other Canadian cities for the United Jewish Appeals Walk with Israel event, the one that I was just chatting about. It's crazy to me that you've got a travel advisory for our country. But when you, again, when you watch some of the video of that walk, the walk itself, very peaceful, the loud, aggressive, masked up protesters were the ones that were on the sideline. And I don't get, why are you wearing masks? Why are you wearing, if you want to get out and you want to talk about, this is Canada, we've got free speech, but why are you covering up? I don't get that look, that aggressive look that these pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli protesters are taking. Nonetheless, it's a shocking situation, a shocking scene that we saw play out yesterday. And I mean, don't forget, everyone is heightened awareness right now, given the fact that we saw two staff members of the Israeli embassy killed in that shooting near the Jewish Museum in D.C. just last week. So there's reason to be fearful of this. Police were out in big numbers. But again, not proud of the fact that we're seeing this kind of thing play out in Canada. Phone lines are open. Lots of texts now starting to pour in. I'm happy to hear your thoughts and texts. Open lines till 10 o'clock here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Open lines continues, 1-877-332-8255. Talked about the story that the city of Regina launched a refreshed line of Tourism Regina merchandise. It's I Love Regina merchandise, and it comes now with a City Lights candle and oil diffuser with a custom scent developed by local entrepreneur Sarah Lindsay, and it smells like city pride. So I asked the question, if your community had a candle, what fragrance would it be? There's a lot of poop emojis on the text line this morning. Oh, boy. I knew we were setting ourselves up for that one, but it's interesting. I mean, a few people putting things like lilacs and fresh-cut grass and things like that, but a lot of people are saying, given the situation of where they live, next to a sewage plant, next to a cattle farm, next to whatever, yeah, there's lots of There's lots of interesting responses on the text line to that one. So the story that I just talked about, which was the march that happened in Toronto, this is the Walk with Israel. And it didn't just happen in Toronto. It actually happened throughout Canada in a couple of different centers. But the people that were in the march, and if you've seen the pictures or the video of it, I mean, there are thousands of people in Toronto involved in this march. We didn't see face masks. We didn't see any of that. Yet the counter-protesters who are angry and aggressive and shouting hatred towards Israel and genocide and all of that stuff, they're all masked up. They've got their bullhorns. They are very aggressive. And I don't get why that has to happen like that. And I know a lot of people are weighing in on this. Dylan with the text, who points out there are Israeli politicians making statements about how you need to wipe out the entirety of Gaza. He says, I'm not advocating for Hamas, but there needs to be recognition that there are people that are fueling this fire, which is fair enough. But I'm not even talking about the politicians over with Israel or the terrorist leaders from Hamas. I'm talking about Canadians. Why do we have Canadians wearing masks? Why are, if you want to protest, like if this is your big thing and you're fired up enough that you're going to, well, I'll say leave work, but I don't know if they're working or not. But regardless, they're going out and they're spending the better part of their day protesting. Why are you putting a mask on? If you believe so strongly in what it is that you're out protesting for, if you're proud to be an activist, show me your face. Why are you chicken? I don't think you should be wearing masks if you're part of a public protest. And I get it with the pandemic. I think that changed the dynamic a little bit there. But I mean, obviously the reason they're wearing them is for something other than that. Dylan goes on to say in his text that masks have no place in a protest. I think if you're wanting to stand up for something, you shouldn't be ashamed and hide your face. Like, what are you hiding from? And I know, I see a couple of people saying there's a lot of crazy people in the world. So by having a strong stance on something and showing your face, you're exposing yourself to risk. Well, I don't know. I just don't get the whole masking up thing. I think it's cowardly. And to me, you're hiding. You're not out there being a true advocate. But the number of people that are texting in are agreeing that we should be able to have peaceful protests, but for some reason we've lost this. I got Don and Regina saying the March for Israel in Toronto was a massive show of support. Why was Doug Ford not there? Mark Carney wasn't there. The mayor of Toronto, Olivia Chow, not there. These politicians need to be showing up to show their support. 1-877-332-8255. Go to the phone line. I got Jeff in Regina. Jeff, what are your thoughts on all these protests that are going on and masking up and violence and anger and all of that stuff?
No, I don't think it's right. I definitely don't think it's right in our country. You're an ex-policeman. You know, if I walk into a bank and I rob a bank without a mask on, it's a different charge than if I have a mask on
right.
When I walk in and rob that bank, correct?
You're right, because you wear a mask in the commission of a defense. It's an additional charge.
Absolutely. So anybody in these protests that mask up should be arrested immediately, automatically. Because
yeah.
You don't know who they are. You can't determine that if they're a criminal, if they're not. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee, being a 55-year-old white man, if I got up on the front steps of the legislature and I called for the eradication of our First Nations people, or if I wore a Ku Klux Klan outfit on those front steps, I would be taken away in cuffs in a matter of minutes.
Mm. It's your point is well taken, because you're talking about that fine line between promoting hate speech. And that's something that has been tried a few times with some of these anti-Semitic protests. There's been charges, that whole From the River to the Sea chant. People were charged, but a lot of those charges didn't go anywhere. So I don't know if it's the fact that the courts just don't have a precedent for it, but we need to line ourselves up here. And really what I'm talking about is the fact that I think we need some sort of guidelines on what protesting looks like. respecting the right to go out and protest, but the mask thing is over the top. It's aggressive, it's unnecessary, and to me it adds to this whole anonymity and perpetration of violence that seems to be happening, and we see that happen many, many times. Hey, I'm just watching on TV here as they are in the house. It's the first day of sitting, and they are in the process of moving someone up into the speaker's chair. That's happening. I see Mark Carney, Andrew Scheer dragging someone up, as is customary in that. We'll dig into and find out who they've put into the speaker's position when we come back here as well, including today's Roundtable of Justice, which is coming up just after 10 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.